Are we good to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a backgrounder here, just to calibrate things. JPL hired you because you're a smart guy for a job.
I hope so.
Right. And the haircut, that's just you. And that's just something.
That's me.
Then it just happened that, you know, of course, I like the worm logo, but that's another story.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I guess, you know, you before the mission happened, you probably sat through innumerable simulations in that room such that you're pretty much oblivious to the fact that there were closed circuit cameras and you're just doing the job with the team. And when the mission happened and the haircut and all that, that was a bit of a surprise, yes?
Oh, yeah, total surprise. I mean, yeah, been in that room before, and even for launch and other things, I had different haircuts, but I would say that they've sometimes been much brighter, for lack of a better word, than the landing haircut.
Yeah, I looked at LA. You were kind of mild by comparison to some of my neighbors. So that taken. I guess the question I have is, I was looking, over the list of the folks you'll be sitting with tonight, and usually, you know, it's not just something that anybody gets invited to. I mean, usually the folks who sit up in the with the vice president's wife and the president's wife, you have gone through some tragedy or, you know, done something, you know, quite an accomplishment. But also many times they pick people to be representative of themes that, you know, the administration wants to put forth. I don't think you've had any tragedies in your life and so forth. I think you're there because you're part of a bigger team. Can you tell me why you're there? Do you know why you're there?
Well, I mean, I have my, you know, thoughts, I guess, and I think it's mostly one, of course, as a member of the Curiosity team and the JPL and NASA to represent, you know, all that we've done in the last, you know, year and years before that, of course, and it's just a kind of an amazing honor to be a part of something like that. But I think also just because NASA and the work that we do and everything is really a big part of the whole STEM initiative and a focus, you know, going forward on more science and technology.
Well, okay, but are there any new programs that you're there to announce or be part of? Are you going to keep your day job? Are you now going to do part of your time on education? I guess you were doing some stuff with the FIRST Robotics to begin with, but is there something new that you're going to be part of that's going to be announced by the White House or by NASA?
I am unaware of anything like that. I want to keep my day job and keep trying to do as much as I can outside of that.
Would you toy with the notion, given that, I guess the question, you know, when you get an opportunity like this, that people talk about the 15 minutes, and maybe you've had 12 or 17, I don't know how that works, but you do get an unusual exposure to a slice of life that you, well, again, you live in LA, but that you normally wouldn't get, and I got to think that at least somebody's come up to you and done the, you know, said something to you that's caught you off guard, and you stop and think, well, gosh, you know, maybe there's something else I should be doing. Has there been anything that's come out of this that has made you think that maybe NASA should be doing more, or for that matter, the government should be doing more in certain areas, or do you think it's just right, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the government's very committed to doing a lot in the outreach areas, especially in STEM, which is one of my, of course, personal interests. But I think, for the most part, the opportunities have been just getting to know a lot more about, the various, or getting to meet a lot of the people here at headquarters, as well as in the White House and everything else, and just some greater opportunities to kind of be a part of this whole STEM thing and maybe promote it a little bit and get out there and get out the good word.
Well, do you think it, I mean, clearly you've got the sort of Mohawk, sort of maybe the bit of the surfer thing going, but do you get any indication that, and I don't mean this to be in any way insulting to your hairstyle, but no, but seriously. But
it will be.
No. But, you know, I mean, some people are saying, well, what about the jocks? What about the goths? What about the bikers? What about the art majors? What about the people who get C's on every class? What about the other people? You've obviously sort of touched a bit of a nerve that, in my experience, NASA normally doesn't go after. Do you get an indication that more unusual audiences will be sought out as a result of this, or do you think this is just a one-off thing that the camera just happened to be pointed at you?
I mean, if anything, I guess it's maybe a little bit of the latter, though. I mean, of course, it's always great if we can reach a larger audience. And I think to some extent, I mean, what I try to say is that really I'm a member of a part of this team, but just that science and engineering isn't what people necessarily expect it to be in terms of looks, and that it really takes kind of all types and styles and everything and to make this sort of stuff happen. But I don't think think that anybody would say Sky Crane or anything else is the result of, you know, kind of anything but an untraditional, maybe audacious approach to things. And so I think, you know, you'll see in myself and other people that it's, you know, engineering today looks different than maybe it did before.
Do you think it's something unique to JPL, or do you think it's just something unique to NASA that caused this to the sky crane?
I think if anything, it's increasingly the case that you would not notice an engineer if you walked down the street. I mean, and I don't think that's unique to JPL. I don't think that's unique to NASA or anything. I just think that the world is changing. We have a lot of industry, of course. The people look cool, I would say. I think they're nerd or geek culture is very relevant today. So I just think that it's sort of a naturally occurring thing.
Well, you know, up until now, and I used to work at NASA, so I, you know, I was just out at another field center. Usually, this is the province of a very select few, and there may be 100,000 people total in the country that get to play with this stuff. And yet, there are some efforts now that you can call it DIY maker, things like that, where people are now being able to do things like including printing spacecraft. The sky crane was expensive. MSL was expensive, and there's a reason behind that. Mostly, it's reliability, but there doesn't need to always be something that's, you know, hyper-reliable. Things can be designed and expected to break. Do you see any, change in the way that spacecraft are designed in the future? Because, now, I mean, I'm not going to pin you on whether, you know, cost overruns are good or bad, but, you know, there's only so much money, and there's so many places to go, and there's so many people that could potentially want to participate in this. Do you see a solution to this? Do you just continue with one-off missions every now and then, or do you find a way where, you know, you can go to a school in East LA and say, hey, here's your opportunity, pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not the most qualified to answer that question, but I am really optimistic. I definitely think that, you know, the way the industry is shaping up today with a lot more competition, that's going to help things a lot. And I, you know, technology, like enabling technologies like 3D printers and everything else, yeah, I mean, this is an amazing time in terms of what might be possible. So I would love to see more of that. I mean, I think even the CubeSat programs and things like that can be done at the college level are really were a big step forward. So yeah, I'm optimistic.
All right, one last question because I know you're Mr. Popular. if your management came back and said we're going to cover your salary for a year, one FTE, and we're going to let you take this whole Mohawk guy STEM thing and run with it, and this is off the cuff, what would you do? What would you focus on?
That's really tough. I really love my job, and I try to work as, you know, full. You know, I am working full time. It would be really tough for me to leave that. That being said, I think if you know we had a really good thought or plan in terms of, you know, I could reach an audience that we really couldn't reach before, or do something like that, I would definitely consider it.
Okay. And are we going to see just more haircuts, or are you going to like just get a, you know, do a Gene Kranz and just get a buzz cut? Or do we have more surprises in store?
I'm sure there'll be more surprises. We still have a lot of cool stuff that'll be coming up on Mars, and I definitely like celebrating those accomplishments. So I think there'll be a few more.
All righty. Okay, well, you're Mr. Popular.